Hey.
Come on now. And now it's time for off-season reviews. And now your host, Rod or Cam.
Or both of them.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Off-Season Reviews from the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your host for this episode, Rod, and I'm joined by my co-host, Karen.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. And
I think people are going to be excited to see what this one is about. They should have already looked at the trailer, but maybe they just hit play. Well, if you recognize this... That's right. It is the time for the return.
Yes, sir.
The Walking Dead season 4 part 2 is starting, but this isn't about that. This is about
part one
of season 4. All season reviews is where we actually take time to watch the shows completely, wait till they have a break, and then we talk our shit. All right. Today's show, The Walking Dead, is coming back for season 4 part B, but so much shit happened in season 1 that we can't wait to talk about it. A lot of questions going into the next season.
Yes, it is.
So we can't wait to talk about that as well. Let's get right in to it. We'll start with let's start with this. How did you feel about part 1 of season 4 in general? Let me warn you guys now, we both read the comic book, so there may be spoilers for people who are behind on the comic books. You'd have to be very behind, but still, we will talk about some of the differences possibly between the show and the comic books. Mm-hmm. And there will, of course, be spoilers throughout the entire recap.
Just giving you a heads up.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Karen. What was your overall impression with this, season so far?
I love it. I loved just the way the story was told. And I know we're going to probably repeat some of this, but I'm kind of going to give you my moments of the show. I like the backstory of the governor. I like how they brought him in. I like the interaction between the characters and, you know, when the prison went crazy. And, you know, it was just so much going on. How they integrated the people they bought from Woodbury Inn and how they got integrated and how basically they got in a very, very, very comfort zone. And, you know, how they miss little things like not paying attention to animals dying and which I think contributed to the a lot of the outbreak and stuff like that. I really, really enjoyed I've always enjoyed the storytelling. They had zombies and most zombies in some episodes. I also enjoyed the fact that I know a lot of I love the pacing of the storytelling because you're telling a story, so you don't tell everything up front. And so I'm a person who watched The Walking Dead who understand that the zombies are like the trees in the background. They do make a difference, but they're not the main story. The main story are the characters. How do they deal with death? How do they deal with dying? How do they deal with change? How do they deal with losing people? How do they keep their sanity? How do they keep their humanity? And I really think that they're doing a good job, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the second half of answering those same questions or continuing to show us about those same questions.
Yeah, I truly enjoyed this as well. I love the way they told the story. Some of the reveals, like not just the fact that the governor came back, which I think most of us knew was going to happen at some point, but the way they did it was just so beautiful and artistic and took their time and went back and built that character up. And we'll get into that when we discuss specific episodes.
Yes.
The differences between the comic book and the show, like how they had an outbreak of a virus in the prison this season. And that became a huge part of the story, was trying to survive this outbreak. And, you know, the things that break down your attention span when you're trying to be vigilant about guarding this space and the enemies that are out there. I love how it just showed you life gets in the way of all that.
It does.
Another, you know, there's always something unexpected. Another thing was, we started this episode knowing as viewers that the governor killed all his people.
Yes.
But they don't necessarily know that. So they're still kind of keeping an eye out for him. Michonne's going out hunting for him.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked that, we kind of like, it kind of got brushed aside, but in the last season, the governor sent a lot of people to go live with them, basically. The weaklings, the cast offs, the people that, you know, old people and children and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have those people in the group as the group, we come back and the group has grown. And you have, and it's not necessarily just a bunch of like hardcore men, military type dudes, mm-hmm. you know? These are some people that, you know, are older and easier, it's more susceptible to getting sick, you know, children, yeah. things of that nature. So, those are the things I enjoy, you know, the new mind states that people had, you know, Rick seemed to be against anti-violent almost.
Yeah. And also, did the governor send them over there or I thought, once the governor like killed everybody, the girl that was left,
mm-hmm.
she, told them, hey, it's people, you know, back there that he left. Wasn't Tyrese and his daughter like, didn't they stay?
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that they was like, hey, there's people, we can't leave them there when we got supplies.
That's true. You're right. My bad. But yeah, so stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like that, how they have to deal with this new influx of people, you know, now you got Bob, you know, this black ass nigga. Fucking shit up. You know, you got people that weren't there before.
And the biggest reason why I remember that was because when they bought them on the bus, oh my gosh, Rick's son got upset because he was looking like, God damn it, daddy, you bought all these extra people mm-hmm. up in here. He was hot that they was there.
And Rick's group has become, you know, at this point, a hardened group of veteran zombie apocalypse survivors.
Yes, they have these people.
We watched them last season on season 3 when they were like busting into different environments and scouting it almost like a SWAT team, you know?
Cause that's how they took over the prison in the first place. They got in a group of 4, went back to back and basically cleaned hundreds of zombies out.
Yeah. So they're a well-oiled machine at this point. So when we come back, it's a little bit jarring to see, you know, Rick is, you know, a farmer now. You know, at one point, I think he doesn't even have his gun with him.
Nope.
That was it. You know, we're going on AMC and just kind of recap, looking at some of the recaps of, you know, the shows. And I'm also looking at my tweets from Rod Live tweets. Hopefully you guys are following that. If you want to see what I think about the show as it's live. But, Daryl wasn't talking because his brother died.
Yeah, because, he ended up, the governor ended up stabbing his brother and then he ended up turning into a zombie and Daryl was like looking for him and ended up finding him and had to kill him and he was crushed and I was even crushed. Them Daryl tears was real.
Yeah, Daryl, like when Daryl experiences, has experienced a lot of loss over these seasons.
Yes,
you know?
He has.
Carl was actually warming up to Michonne, and Michonne, who was a lot more standoffish in season 3, starts to loosen up in season 4. You start to see her smile, start to see her make jokes.
Yes.
She's trying to stick around. And because last season there was this huge, you know, moral dilemma of, do we give up Michonne in hopes that the governor just leaves us alone? Cause that was floated out there. Now, I don't think the governor would have lived up to that.
I don't either.
But the fact that they didn't give her up and betray her, you know, that was a pretty big deal. But even as she's down with the group, she's 1 foot in, 1 foot out because she's still going on runs to see if she can find the governor and kill him at some point.
Yes.
Carl and Michonne, I love that pairing and how they were becoming like fast friends.
And she's like a ninja, especially, when they had went to the, I think it was like a bar or something and Carl had won like a photo and she was told him, wait right here. He was like, what? And she went in there, basically got it and came back out cause he tried to get it and almost got himself fucking killed.
Yeah. They go on a supply run in this episode where they go to like a Walmart.
Yes.
There's a helicopter that has crashed on the roof. They did not notice it.
Nope.
So they go in. It's been, obviously there's, it's decaying. There's, I'm sure the elements have had their way with the roof at this point. Mm-hmm. Bob sees some alcohol, starts staring at it pretty hard.
Yeah, he does.
The whole shelf of alcohol falls on him.
When he tries to put it back.
The 40 ounces, the death of every black man.
That clear, ain't it?
And,
slit, smoke, lick a damn you.
Zombies start falling through the roof because the roof finally caves after they get active hearing all that noise inside.
Like rain.
And, you know, they fall down and just start, you know, like attacking people. And, Bob is, you know, trapped underneath this display of liquor, you know, delicious malt liquor. And zombies try to like.
Sweet, sweet liquor.
Try to get him, man. There's also in this same episode a subplot where they meet a girl who looks like a zombie, but she's a real woman. She meets Rick.
Yeah.
She looks dead.
She does.
I thought she was a zombie when they first showed her.
I did too. When she started talking, I was like, oh shit, she talking.
Yeah, so Rick ends up following her. She says she has a boyfriend who is like sick or something, and she needs to come help him, and Rick's gonna go with her.
And the whole time I was like, don't you trust this bitch?
Yeah, Rick basically is going along with it, and yeah, you do feel this, like this is a setup, and is she gonna try to try to get him or what?
Yes.
And so Rick ends up going with her, and just long story short, they get back there. Her boyfriend's already dead. He's a zombie. Mm-hmm. She wanted to kill Rick with a knife. So she was also a lying psycho backstabbing bitch, which reminds me of Lori.
Yes.
She wanted to kill him with a knife and feed him to her dead boyfriend zombie.
Yes, she did.
Rick has to kill her eventually.
No, she stabs herself.
Oh, no. Yeah. But doesn't he have to kill her so she won't turn into a zombie, or does he let her stay? I couldn't remember if he let her stay zombified.
She ended up stabbing herself and killing herself, and he left. And when they panned off, I think she just had like the head of it or something, and they didn't show it, but it was like covered in like a kid's thing, and he like walked away, and you could like hear the head of it like chewing, growling behind it. So you was like, okay, this bitch is crazy. No, I don't think he killed her. I really think she killed her. She like stabbed herself.
No. I mean, he let her stay a zombie, or he killed her as a zombie?
No, he left before she changed.
Okay.
Yeah, all she right. stabbed herself. He was like, bitch, you crazy. All right, I got to go.
And that was when they brought up the idea that he asked everybody like 3 questions.
Yes.
To see if they could join the group.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, if you answer wrong, you ain't gonna make it.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact 3 questions. I want to say it was something like, how many zombies have you killed? Mm-hmm. And shit, how many regular people have you killed?
And I think, and why? Or something,
yeah,
like,
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of stuff happened. They also show in this episode, I believe, that they had the fence of walkers, and they had this organ, like, they just show how organized prison life is, where like, they go to the walker fence, you stab some zombies down, or they keep piling up on the fence. Eventually they show someone's feeding the zombies over there.
Ain't that the truth?
Which explains why they keep piling up.
Yep.
Maggie, has a pregnancy scare. And, they go to Big Spot to get pregnancy supplies. Mm-hmm. And that's actually one of the reasons they were there. But we find out she's not pregnant. And it was like they celebrated in a commercial where she, like she was, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it's a zombie apocalypse. Who wants a fucking baby?
Who wants to be the pregnant woman that can barely move?
Yeah. And it just makes you think about poor Lori and Judith. Mm-hmm. Zach was introduced in this episode. He was all up in love with Beth. Beth kissed him.
Oh yeah, she was in love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went on the supply run without her.
Yeah, and Beth was on there. He was like, bye. She was like, I don't say bye no more. I was like, oh God. I was like, she done got hard.
Yeah. Beth lost a lot of people in her life too.
Yeah, she was like, I don't say bye because you might not come back.
Mm-hmm. Sasha stays. Sasha, I believe, is what's his name's sister? No. It's Tyrese's sister.
Yeah. I don't know why. For a long time, I thought it was his daughter, but that's his sister.
Yeah, I think because in the comic books, he has a daughter, not a sister.
Yes, and that's why I keep thinking that's his daughter, but it's his sister.
They go on this. They end up getting all fucked up and stuff like that. They bring up this idea of, that the kids are naming the walkers at the fence. So the kids need to be taught not to be soft.
Yeah. And Carol was all on that one.
Yeah. Carol took the initiative among herself that under the guise of teaching kids at like class, she wait till adults aren't around and then she teach them how to fend for themselves.
Yeah. Cause she was like, I can't have y'all dying because you don't know how to fend for yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Clara was the name of the zombie woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that ends up, you know, getting all fucked up or whatever. And Rick, his three questions are, how many walkers have you killed? And then how many people have you killed? And then why? So, Karen, you're right. Let's see what else happened here. Oh, Carl finds out that Carol is out here teaching the kids how to kill, and then he keeps her secret.
Yeah, because I think initially he wasn't in the class, or he didn't want to go to the class, but he like snuck into the class to see her teaching other kids, and I think he came to like get one of the boys and like pss, 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 and I think because he wanted to go off or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, no. The boy ended up leaving because he wasn't feeling good. That's what happened. He ended up excusing himself because he wasn't feeling good. Right. But in the process, Carl was there and overheard her training them.
Right. The reason that the shelf falls on Bob, we'll get back to them in a second, was because he looked at the wine bottle and then slammed it back down with resolve. Like, I am not drinking.
I'm not going to be alcoholic this time. And that shelf was like, oh, yeah, I've been here 3 years.
Yeah, it fell on his ass, which, yeah, you know, classic Walking Dead, black, dark comedy, you know. Glenn reports to Maggie that, her boyfriend, Zach, died at the store. And she just didn't even appear to be sad at all.
Nope, because she was like, look, I have lost folks. I understand losses. I think in her mind, she to protect herself from constantly breaking down or being weak. Because, you know, the prior episode, she was like the weak bitch. She cried. She moaned. Oh, gosh, woe is me. And what is her name? This is whatchamacallit. Like, gave her a knife. Was like, honey, make up your mind what you want to do. Mm-hmm. What is her name? The one who died. With Michonne's girl, governor's girlfriend.
Andrea?
Yeah, Andrea. Remember, Andrea gave her a knife, was like, bitch, make up your mind. You want to live or die, you know, because, you know, death is happening. Decide what you want to do. She basically decided, hey, I can't do it. I want to live. And I think after that process, it made her change her mind and it made her grasp the concept that death is just a part of life.
Yeah. Beth said, and Beth also has adopted that as well. I don't cry anymore. I'm just glad I got to know him. And then we kind of end with Rick holding Judith and telling Herschel that he fears he's becoming crazy like Clara out in the woods. Mm-hmm. And Herschel tells him, hey, you came back from when you were crazy.
Yeah, she didn't like you actually came back, but she went out there and she stayed out there. And I think, Rick's mind, he was like, I was headed in that same direction. That's almost in his mind. I think he's like, that is the end result. So if I would have really jumped off the deep end.
And then we end this episode with Patrick, the new nerdy dude with the glasses, passing out in the shower, blood streaming out of his face and eyes. Then he opens his eyes and he's turned. He's dead. He's a walker.
Yes.
And it's in the middle of the prison and nobody knows. It's in the middle of the night.
Nope. And he's like, and after he like coughed in the water when he was sick, and yeah, it was just not good.
We start the next episode two, Infected. Someone's feeding rats to the walkers.
Yes.
And now some people, you know, we still never really found out who this was.
I think it was the girls.
I think so too. Those little girls look like they up to no good.
Yeah, because they was like, naming him, and but like, and she was like, his name is Bob, and you know, the other girl, little girl was like, what's wrong with you? Like, mm-hmm. you know, they're not real people. Yes, they are, and shit like that. So I was like, y'all motherfuckers was feeding them because y'all think they real people,
right? Some people speculated it might have been an enemy, like the governor or somebody mm-hmm. that infiltrated the camp. But
nah, I think I was really feel like it was
yeah a kid thing to do.
Yes, because most of the adults wouldn't dare do anything like that.
Yeah, although it could be some type of setup to infiltrate the camp, but it ultimately that's not what it turned out to be. Somebody like the zombies weren't used as a weapon to infiltrate the camp at that mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. So you have to believe that it must have been somebody feeding the zombies that really thought like a child.
Yeah, and because it's one of those things where when children do stuff like that, they don't think about the repercussions and consequences. You know, if this was an adult, it'd have been more planned out, you know, and things like that. It was like, oh, let's just feed them because they're alive. And they didn't think beyond that point.
My man Tyrese got him a lady.
Yeah, he does.
A woman named Karen. Mm-hmm. They were kissing and stuff, making yeah, kissing faces. Yeah, I was like,
damn it, Karen, damn it.
She was telling him basically, like, you need to find something to do other than sitting around moping.
True.
So like all black men, he was in all kinds of fiction, he was a nigga without a job and no purpose. That was feeding off of his woman, leeching off his woman, staying home, playing Xbox all day, oh, shit Lord. Like that. Now Patrick is fully a zombie. He follows Karen to D block, wanders into a cell and begins to silently eat somebody that fell asleep.
Yeah, because I thought he was going to get her, but somebody ended up coughing or something. He ended up turning and dude was asleep, and yeah, he like bit his neck. I was like, oh damn it, they not even going to hear you scream, dog.
Yep. Michonne starts to go resume her hunt for the governor. And Carl asks Rick if he can help kill walkers at the fence, but Rick says no, refusing to say when Carl can have his gun back because he's confiscated Carl's gun after he shot that kid in the woods with Herschel.
Yeah, Herschel was like, yeah, you need to explain to your son it's the time to shoot and the time not to shoot. And Carl was like, yeah, dog, I understand you put your shit down, but I'm going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, and I still agree with Carl, but hey, I get it. You know,
yeah, Carl was like, I can't trust you, I don't know who you are, you're not a part of this group. So
and Herschel's always been the backbone and the moral, he's the humanity of the group.
Yeah,
so he's always the guy like, hey, these are still people, we can save them, we don't have to be enemies, we don't need all this fighting. And Herschel, while he, you know, has his purposes, I was on Carl's side for shooting that kid, because it was like, you can't trust these motherfuckers, you're a kid and an old man. And this dude, no matter how scared he is right now, was trying to kill you moments ago.
Ain't that the truth?
So they hear gunfire erupt in the prison. They walk in. The walkers have gotten into the prison. Daryl confirms there's been no breach in the gate. So, Carl lets in Michonne through the gate. And, when she gets off, walkers tackle her to the ground. Carl and Maggie rush to her aid, but Michonne has sprained her ankle.
Yeah.
So she's all fucked up. So now it's like, should she really even be going on these runs looking for the governor anymore? Because her ankle's all fucked up.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where, like, while this is happening on the outside, you have, like, on the inside, everybody biting each other, because the way this one was spreading, you bit, and then you just instantly just start biting on other people.
Inside D block, Rick and his crew evacuate the survivors, kill the attacking walkers. Carol turns to Ryan, a wounded victim. It takes him to a cell, sees that his arm and neck are bitten. They give Ryan some time to talk to his crazy dollars, Lizzie and Micah, who are the crazy
good girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he tells them goodbye and all this stuff. And then Carol, I think it was Carol that puts the knife in his head.
Yeah, because she tried to get one. I think she may have tried to get one of them to do it. And the oldest little girl, she's like, no, I can't do it. She was like, fuck that. We all going to die because you a punk bitch. And she stabbed him in the head.
Right. Yeah. But that was when you start seeing Carol is becoming quite calculated.
Quite a gangster.
Like, she's no longer about all that soft life. She's like, this motherfucker got bit. He a zombie already. He's gone. Stab him in the brain.
Yeah, and she's came a long way from that sad, depressed person when her daughter got killed, and she
well, before that even, she was dating an abuse, she was married to an abusive man.
Yeah, and I think she came for the fact that I will not be abused no more, and I will not let the situation dictate what I do. I will dictate the situation.
Right. I'm no longer going to be a victim.
Yes. And I think that has a lot to do with her mentality now too.
Yeah. So, Rick, Herschel, Daryl, and Bob examine a dead walker and find out, hey, these motherfuckers aren't getting bitten. They're just dying from something and becoming zombies. And they deduce that it's some type of virus.
Yeah, it was one of those things where before people got bit and then they turned. That's how most of it happens.
And they figured out somehow that it was a virus that probably came from the pigs Rick was tending, which I'm not sure how they arrived to that conclusion scientifically, but that's that you know, that's what it says.
Yeah, it was like whatever it was, they were thinking it was something that was airborne and like you got it from coughing or whatever. And
yeah,
you know, and then they would, kind of went through the symptoms, you know, first you cough, then your eyes turn red, and you know, and then you eventually, you know, get sick, because that's what happened to the dude at the beginning you was talking about. You get sick and then yeah, you automatically you die,
and then you come back, you start biting people. Yeah. The one dude died because he had sleep apnea, you know, and Rick, who at this point is decidedly trying to stay out anti-violent, out of killing, you know, he's out there with the plants and the pigs. Like, these pigs ain't never shot me, stabbed me, made me see my dead wife.
I know, right?
You know, I just want to chill.
I stay out here with the farm life.
Right. Meanwhile, indoors, D-block falling apart faster than when the locks tried to leave Bad Boy.
Ah, yes, they is.
yeah, that, it was crazy though. You know, because then you start noticing people are coughing. The one dude in the bed was coughing. Mm-hmm. Karen, Tyrese's woman, starts coughing. And you start realizing, like, wait a minute, dog. This is serious.
Yeah. And then they started, I think they like took, like you say, everybody that wasn't killed, from the outbreak or hadn't died and came back from the outbreak. Mm-hmm. They, separate them in their own quarters of the jail. They're like, look, if you coughing, this is where you got to go, cause we can't have everybody sick.
I felt like Tyrese, he just got him a white woman. They already taken him away.
Yeah, they took her away. And he was,
I know they weren't cock blocking him.
Not at all. He was not happy that she had to go.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was crazy. That whole situation with the disease was so out of left field, because like I said, it's not in the books.
No, it's not.
So I love that about this show, that they reached for something outside of the comic book lore to go, how would this affect things? Because it's different. And this could be just whooping cough. It could be anything. It's killing people because there's no medicine anymore.
Ain't
there's
that
no,
the truth?
Like, you have to go make a supply run to find medicine.
Yes, you do. So you know? People get sick, it becomes a serious thing. And I like the fact that they don't follow the comic book. And it upsets me. People's like, well, they ain't follow the comic. Bitch, I read that story. Tell me something new.
Yeah. But, Glenn and Maggie were supposed to be in the tower watching out for stuff. So, you know, they weren't really aware of what was going on.
Mm-mm.
So Rick goes out and kills the pigs.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking no more bacon.
Ah, clear, right?
But, you know, pigs are probably disgusting animals, I guess. It's living shit. Maybe that's how they figured it got spread. I don't know.
Possibility.
Maybe all the pork eaters died first. Message.
Yeah. Well, I'm going out then.
Yeah, but I felt bad because I was like, when Tyrese and Sasha and Michonne found out that the pigs are dead, they're gonna have to leave, man. You know, we love our pork.
Yeah, we do.
You think there was a spider somewhere in the back of the farm that made a sign that said best pig ever? A
terrific pig.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite scenes that happened in this episode was when Carl talks to Rick and basically talks him out of being a bitch.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, look, man, this is the zombie apocalypse.
What is wrong with you, nigga?
Okay. This is a zombie apocalypse. You guys are fucking crazy. We have to go. Like, you have to give me the gun. We have to go full bore. You need your gun back.
I need my hat and my gun back.
Yeah, you need to be a leader again. This is, you know, since the season 3 to season 4, they have formed a government of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this Rick isn't a, it's not a Rick-tatorship anymore.
Nope, he was, basically, he was like, I go to the council. Carl was like, fuck the council. We need immediate response, and you need to do something because you are the leader, whether you want to be or not.
Yeah, so, then that's when we make the biggest discovery of the episode. We find that someone has taken the sick people and burned their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyrese's chick was burning.
You know, yeah, she was. Her and I don't even know who the other person was, but her and somebody else ended up being killed, drugged outside, and like burnt. And like,
yeah, I
want to
say
yard.
There were two or three people that ended up getting their bodies burned.
Okay, it was
burned.
A group of them. Yeah,
you know, which is some old like 1800s plague shit.
Yeah, but that's you know, with the lack of technology, that's probably the only way you could do it. Like, look, I don't know what else to do it because I gotta burn you, bitch.
Yeah. So and Rick and Daryl never seemed more white than dealing with Tyrese in that scene where Man. They were like, hey, before you go outside, buddy, let me talk to you over here. And Tyrese lost his shit.
He was like, I don't care what you talking about. And he looked at Rick like, goddamn it, motherfucker, you better do your job. You a goddamn cop? Investigate, nigga.
Yeah, this was during episode 3, Isolation. Sorry, that was meant to say that first.
Yeah,
and that's when they, because like they end the last one with the bodies burning, and then they start this one with Tyrese showing, he went and got Rick, Carol, and Daryl to show them the charred bodies.
What he had found, yeah.
Karen and David.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, I think that Daryl was, because he like jacked Daryl up, and Daryl was, and Rick came over, he was like, nah, he good, because he was like, Daryl was like, I can kind of talk to him. And I think a lot of his anger was for the fact that they was dead, and he looked at Rick like, motherfucker, you run shit, find out who the fuck did this, or else we gonna have issues. And he
punched Rick in the face.
I'm about to say, he proceeded to beat the hell out of Rick.
Yeah, he punched Rick in the face, and Rick punched him back.
Yes, he did.
Which reminded me of the comic books, because they have an epic fight in one of the episodes of the comic books.
And he fucked his face up.
They were both fucked up.
Yes, they were.
They looked so bad. Which, you know, up until this point, I felt like Tyrese had been written almost as like second fiddle and almost like a guy who just didn't want to have no problems. And then when this happens, it sets something off in Tyrese.
I think so too.
So yeah, Rick, they both get into a fight. Rick kind of wins the fight because he just beats the shit up out of Tyrese. And they're, you know, both of them are fucked up, but you know, Rick was the one who kind of beats them down. Which, you know, in hindsight, you know, Carol's sitting there the whole time. And obviously, if you've been watching, you already know Carol's the one who did this.
Yep.
So you just think, it's like, wow, she just sat there the whole time and let that happen.
But at this period of time, you didn't know that.
Yeah, she didn't want to man up then. She was cool when it was time to burn the bodies.
Yeah.
But when it was time to talk and say, this is what I did and I'm not ashamed of it, she was ashamed at that moment.
Yeah, she was like, all this anger, I am not speaking right now because I might die.
Yeah, so Herschel fixes up Rick's hands, Tyrese digs graves for Karen and David, ignoring Bob's suggesting he should get his wounds checked, because now Tyrese is just like in a zone.
Yeah, he was like, they was like, dog, you kind of fucked up. Like, fuck that, I'm gonna bury him.
Yeah, Sasha is now sick, and if everybody understands, that's Tyrese's sister.
Yeah. His woman on already died. Mm-hmm. Come on now. And now his sister's sick.
And now they have to basically start putting people, quarantining people who are sick. And, you know, they start, you know, with Sasha. And this time they actually have to, you know, watch out because somebody killed these motherfuckers. So now it's time to like watch. And it's even worse. It's like you killed these people for nothing because it still spread. People still got sick.
Yes, they did.
Herschel says it's the sickness that's killing people, not the illness itself, which, you know, is why you know we're talking about where you don't have medicine. Imagine if you got a cold but you couldn't treat the
symptoms from
you just couldn't treat the cough, you couldn't treat the inflammation, you couldn't
treat it just got worse because you didn't clear up the small thing, and it just ate into your body.
Yeah, so they now go on a trek for to a veterinarian college.
Yeah,
50 miles away.
Because Tyrese wasn't gonna go, mm-hmm. but after he seen his sister, because they asked him to go. Daryl was like, "Hey, doll, you want to go?" He's like, "Nah." Then they was about to pull up, go out. I think it was him and Bob and Tyrese and Michonne, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Michonne did go with them, and he was like, "Nah, I ain't going." They was like, "Okay, cool." Then right before they got ready to leave, he was like, "I'm going," because after he talked to his sister, he was like, "I can't let you die." Mm-hmm.
Bob likes Sasha, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
That's my thinking. In the prison, y'all, Carol and Rick work at a water pump. It's not working. They got to go outside to fix it. They were like, "Shit's going so bad. We're not going today. Go tomorrow." Rick goes to Tyrese to try to patch things up and tell him, "Hey, we're going to find who the killer is. But we got to save all the people in the building right now. We got to, you know, we have to keep this place going."
Yeah.
And Tyrese is like, "Fuck that shit.
Find out who did this, motherfucker."
Yeah. Like, don't worry about this. We got a murderer in here and they killed somebody I love. You got to figure this out. Carl joins the kids in quarantine. But Rick says, "Hey, I'm not sending you here just because you're a kid. I'm telling you, you're security. You might need to use your gun. You know, we got a murderer in here. We can't mm-hmm. trust him."
And gangster Carl, man, I love Carl in that cap mm-hmm. and Carl with that gun. Carl became a boss.
Yeah. Glenn, it gets sick.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, Rick, Daryl, and then this is one of my favorite things. Daryl and Michonne, as they get ready to go on this mission to get this medicine, they start bonding.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and he tells her like, "Hey, you gotta stop running out after the governor," which in hindsight, maybe that is the shit that, you know, leads to the governor being able to come back. Maybe she would have found him on one of these trips and nicked everything in the bud, but he was like, "You know, we got a group here. You're part of the group now. Stop running off tutting for the governor.
Because you're an important part of the group. We actually need you here."
Yeah. They try to enlist Tyrese to go. Tyrese says, "I'm going to watch over the mm-hmm. infected survivors." Yep. But I think that was about when he found out Sasha was sick.
Yeah, because at first he said no.
Yeah, then he decided like, "Okay, let me go get medicine. Because the only thing I'm going to do here is watch you die."
Dang, that's the truth.
Herschel basically becomes the de facto doctor, because they have like a, I want to say they had an Indian dude who was a doctor, but he ends up dying.
Yeah, because he ended up getting sick.
Yeah, he got so sick.
Yeah, because he basically was in there with the patients the whole time, and he ended up getting sick because he's in there, they're coughing on him, but he's still trying to do his job and stuff like that. And Herschel's like, there's a lot of people in here and you can't do this by yourself.
Yeah. Herschel says, "I need to sneak out into the woods," gets Carl to protect him. They go out and pick berries or some shit. I don't know what for exactly, medicine.
No, something like that. Cause you know, he's probably with his age, he probably knows all kind of old school, you know, remedies that might not actually resolve it, but actually will help slow the process down. And he was actually going to go by himself. And Carl was like, "No, you ain't, nigga.
Right.
I'm going with you."
And Carl, they run into some zombies. Carl's ready to shoot him, and Herschel says don't, you know. And I think it's part of hearkening back to like what he told him about shooting that kid too.
Yeah, you gotta know, like, when to shoot and when not to shoot.
Everything's not always a shooting situation, he's trying to teach Carl.
Yeah, because he was like, "Them zombies ain't bothering nobody." Mm-hmm. Like, and they're already dead, and there's no way they're gonna get to us. Don't waste a bullet and ammunition, end up drawing more zombies here.
Yeah, Daryl gets Bob to come on the run, cause of course Bob is, a medical he was a, ambulance technician.
Okay.
I believe, so it was like he's got some medical expertise.
Because it was a running joke when he was like, "Do you know how to read it?" He was like, "No." "You know how to read it?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, you going, cause I can't read that shit."
Yes. So Tyrese goes too. And, he asked Carol to look after Sasha while he's gone. Mm-hmm. Irony, foreshadowing.
Yes, it is.
As she expresses her condolences for Karen after Tyrese leaves, Carol knocks over a water tank in frustration and cries. So that should have been a big sign.
Yeah. I didn't think, at the period of time, mm-hmm. you go, "Well, she's angry," but I was like, well, shit, she doing so much. I, you know, like, her being connected to that murderers, I wouldn't even have thought about that. I was like, well, shit, she's just stressed. I thought that was a way of her letting that stress out, but it was a way of her being like, fuck.
Yeah, why did I do that? The shit's happening anyway. I wasted that.
That energy.
And Herschel, now they find out that Herschel snuck out of quarantine, but he's helping the sick with the elderberries that he picked. Mm-hmm. They're a natural food remedy. So he starts becoming Dr. Herschel. And that's when he ends up getting pretty sick himself.
Yeah, and he ended up going in there against Maggie's will because he was like, I'm going in here. She was like, Daddy, don't go in there. He was like, look, bitch, everybody got to decide what you gonna die for. And that was an awesome speech. He was like, look, what you gonna die for? All of us gonna die. Make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in here because I have to, because these people need me. I can't sit out here and watch them die. You know, that's just part of his humanity. And thinking, if there's anything I can do, even if it's worth me risking my life, I'm willing to do it. And he ended up going in there and, like you said, ended up getting sick.
Yeah. And it made sense too, because this is the same shit that was going on with, her and, with Maggie and, Beth. He had said the same thing about the whole, we don't get to get upset, we got jobs to do. And then Herschel's telling her the same shit later.
Yep.
What else happened in this one? Carol unclogged the water hose, but attracted a group of walkers. Rick saved her.
She went out there. Cause remember before you had said that they was like, we're not going to go. She's like, fuck it. I'm going to go anyway out there by herself. So she had nobody around
her. I feel like
her.
She was trying to make up for what she knew she had done.
Yeah.
And Rick starts to figure out the crime scene. Like he's zombie CSI out here. He's looking at the blood, following it to a handprint. The handprint's smaller than his, so he knows it's not a dude.
Yeah, so he's like, it has to be a woman or a child, you know, kind of in that realm. Like he did some policing, some real old, he did that old school policing.
Yes. So they get on the car on the road. They start driving. Daryl messes with the car radio and they hear a woman's voice that says, keep alive, sanctuary, terminus. So like, they know that there's other people out there apparently. And then that's when they drive into a herd of walkers.
Yeah. And that was crazy because all of a sudden they like turn on the radio and then everybody was like, oh shit. And he stops. And when it pans out, it's literally like thousands of zombies coming up I-85.
Right.
You're like, oh shit, what's going on?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. Like, yeah, when that special effect of them on a pile of zombies skidding out on a car. I don't know exactly how they did that, but that was so great.
Wasn't it though? Cause he tried to back up and ended up running over a bunch of them. And they had got to the point where he had ran over so many, which probably would be realistic. You would get stuck hitting that many people.
Mm-hmm. So Tyrese, who had been, you know, basically out of it the whole trip, suddenly jumped out of the car because, you know, he stayed in the car after everyone else got out.
I about to say, he sat there a good 5 minutes.
Just, I don't know, like, I don't know if he was ready to die or what.
I think he was.
But he was going to let his sister die, you know, without helping, basically, because he's on this run to get her medicine. And he hops out, gets to work, and it's hammer time. And as they run off, you just see
him getting swarmed
by just zombies. And they run around, but later they hear some rustling in the bushes. Tyrese is alive, covered in walker blood, but still alive.
Yeah, I was like, oh, nigga. I thought he was dead. I was like, oh, nigga, you dead.
Yeah. Harold feeds Dr. S a cup of the elderberry tea. Dr. S coughs, sprays blood all over Harold's face.
Yes, he did.
And now Harold's infected. I mean, Herschel's infected. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And now Herschel gives the tea to Glenn and urges him to stay positive.
Yeah, because he basically had the surgical mask around his face. And I think the doctor was like, look at me. And when he looked up, his eyes was like all red and bloodshot and shit. You was like, nigga, you ain't going to make it. And he told him, he was like, you got to lock the doors, you know, actually, he told him, you need to physically lock people in here. Cause if you don't, all hell is getting ready to break loose. And he was like, I can save everybody. He was like, no, you don't understand. Look at me. He was like, I was like, oh, he coughed blood out of his face. I was like, Hershey was like, I'm not supposed to take this mask off now. No reason for this, bitch.
Yep. I'm surprised there weren't more hypochondriacs in the zombie apocalypse. People that just walk around like, I got it too. I got a head coat. It's like, no, it's not the same as the Southern flu.
No, because it's one of them things where this is the one time you don't even want to fake being sick. Like, if you ain't sick, you like, nah, I'm not fucking with that.
Yeah, when it first started and it went from Karen to Sasha, I was like, why only the black people getting sick? Is it spreading through sickle cells?
Ah, no, not this time. I think this was something that didn't care nothing about the color. It was like, I'm attacking everybody, bitch.
Yeah, but right about this time, we end up getting one of the like more poignant moments of the show to end it. Rick straight up asked Carol, did you kill Karen and David? She says yes. They stare at each other for 10-15 seconds and she turns around and just walks away.
Yes, and that was the end of the episode, wasn't it? Yeah, she was like, yes, I did. All right, nigga, I got this water. Folks is dying.
Yeah, are you gonna do something about this?
If not, I got to go. You wasting my time.
Yeah, she said that, yes, the same way Dwayne Wade tells Gabby that he just had another baby.
Yeah, did you get another bitch pregnant? Yeah, why, yes, I did. Mm-hmm. You gonna cook dinner or what?
So, then episode 4, Indifference. Carol visits Lizzie and reports that she's going on a food run with Rick, and she tells Lizzie to stay strong, and Lizzie offers that even if she dies, she'll still be alive as a walker. And my first thought was, this little bitch feeding them zombies.
Yes.
You know, why else would she do it? She doesn't see it as death.
No, she doesn't.
And Lizzie then asked Carol how she can be not afraid. She said, you fight it, then one day you just change. We all change. So Carol's even aware that she's changed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm sure we'll find out later, but I'm convinced they've been feeding those zombies.
Come on now. I got a feeling, this is just my hypothesis, they're going to show like a flashback or something showing them bitches feeding them.
Mm-hmm. So they have to go on a run. But speaking of run, Tyrese and Daryl's group, they're on that run. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to get discouraged, pointing out they lost their entire day after the walker attack. Now they're on foot. You know, they're trying to find a working car. They stop at a gas station and kill a bunch of walkers there.
Yeah, but at the gas station, they were trying to slowly, like, chop, because they had found, like, this gas station that was covered in, like, these vines and shit. And everybody else kind of slowly cutting the vines down, because they're trying to see if there's a car or anything in there. Because I think they end up finding a car and breaking down or some shit. And, man, Tyrese was beating the hell. He was like, They was like, man, slow down.
He was just so angry.
Yes.
And so rushed.
And when he did it, they ended up getting attacked because he ended up chopping the zombies out because he was just busting the hole.
Yeah, he almost got bit. It was crazy. Another thing too that happens, is during their ride with just Carol and Rick, mm-hmm. she tries to tell him like, hey, I had to try. Somebody had to. And Rick goes, maybe. And, you know, and right at this point, I think as an audience, we still think, well, they're going on some type of supply run, but maybe he's like trying to work this out. They're going to hatch a plan on how they can not tell Tyrese what happened or what.
Yeah, or either he's just trying to get her perspective and then going to bring her back and, you know, try to smooth it over with the group.
Yeah. You know, and meanwhile, Daryl's bonding with Michonne. He's still telling her, hey, stop trying to look for the governor. Mm-hmm. Stick around. So Rick, and Carol park in a cul-de-sac, start looking around. They see that there's a clean car. So they start like with the windshield clean. So they go, okay, this car is being used in the last couple of days.
Yep. The windshield too clean.
Yeah. So they know there's people around somewhere. They start rummaging through a house and come across a young couple, Anna and Sam.
Yeah.
They are so quirky and likable.
Yeah, when they went in, they ended up shooting a zombie. And when they shot the zombie, they walked out with their hands up and they threw him fruit. They was like, bitch, why you throwing fruit down here at us?
Yes, yes. And Sam's all fucked up. Like, his shoulder's dislocated.
Mm-hmm.
Anna, obviously, is a woman. They were separated from their group a week ago. Her leg was all fucked up. It was deformed, so she explains that Sam looks out for her. Daryl and Bob find a battery at the gas station. And so now they can get a car.
Yes, and Carol ended up fixing his arm. I think his arm was like out of place or something.
It was his shoulder was out of socket.
Yeah, so yes. She basically snapped that shit back in socket. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, she's a beast now.
But you know what? I guarantee you, she probably learned that from her husband whooping her ass. So she, I don't mean no harm. Like, she probably learned, I know how to put this in place because my shit been out of socket.
Okay, we'll just go with that. Michonne,
I might be wrong, but I mean,
if he was putting her shoulder out of socket, she probably was going to the, I don't know. Michonne chides Therese for letting his anger get the best of him, and he points out to her, like, aren't you still angry about the governor?
He sure did.
And I thought that was so poignant, because, like, you've been harboring anger for a long time, and then she says, I was, but was unable to explain why she still wanted to find him. But that was just a good shut the fuck up moment.
Yeah, it was like, I got the right to be angry. Ain't you angry about some shit?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Daryl finds out the douchebags at the station must have killed themselves with antifreeze and didn't.
Yeah, because they found like all of them in there, and I think they had like a family photo, and they ended up killing everybody in there. Then at the end, they showed like a family photo of like everybody in there. He's like, oh, okay, this is a family of people. They ended up getting trapped in here.
And then that's when Bob says, hey, is going out on your own terms really being a douchebag? You know, just killing yourself, kind of. And, which, you know, cause Bob likes to drink him some strong shit too.
Mm-hmm.
Sam asked him and his girlfriend or join the group. I can't remember if Rick asked him the three questions or not. I want to say he did. I can't remember, but he told him like, hey, people are sick at the prison. Rick said they could join.
I think he did. And that's what made him say, okay, you can join.
Right. He said, y'all can come on. And then Carol says, maybe they should search the neighborhood for food. And Rick gives Sam his wristwatch and tells him to meet back in 2 hours. Cause Rick was like, let's just go.
Mm-hmm.
But Carol says, let's search the, you know, y'all go search. And later on, we find out them niggas got killed. So that search got them killed.
You know what? You know what I think? I don't think that. I think because they end up walking, finding a piece of her leg caught in the gate. Mm-hmm. Chopped off, and you see the zombies eating on her. You don't see him. I really think that they end up getting attacked. He chopped her leg off and left her ass there.
So you think, really, you think he?
Yeah, because I don't remember seeing his body at all, because the zombies were munching on one person with a missing leg, and that was her. Because remember when they walked up, you seen her leg in the gate. I was like, oh. Then they opened up, it was like a piece of her leg. Then like far over, you seen two zombies eating on a person with a missing leg, but he was nowhere to be found. So I really think they end up getting attacked, because remember she fixed his arm. Mm. So I think that he sacrificed her.
Okay.
To get killed. I might be wrong, but I don't remember seeing two bodies. I just remember them eating in one body, and he was nowhere to be found. Say, like, fuck it, we don't know where he is. We can't waste our time to go find him.
That's very observant. You're probably right. Daryl and Bob have a moment where Bob confesses to being an alcoholic and saying that's what got Zach killed.
Yes.
And Daryl says that's bullshit, you know, like, just forget it, basically. Carol scavenges a house, tries to explain about Karen and David again. And she likened it to Rick saying he was gonna, when Rick killed Shane, and Rick says, no, that nigga was gonna kill me. And Rick is right. He gave Shane 1,000 chances.
He literally pleaded with him. Even when they was out there, he pleaded with him. He was like, nope, one of us got to go.
And Carol says, so were they. They were gonna kill all of us, which lets you know her mentality and how it's changed.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, he's gonna kill you, but these niggas gonna kill the entire group.
Yeah, they break into the Daryl's group breaks into the veterinary school.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bob goes into a room with, they have backpacks that they're supposed to put medicine in.
Mm-hmm.
He walks into a room. Michonne walks by, sees him quickly stuffing something into his backpack. So, you know, something's going on.
Yeah, which they probably assume that it's medicine, cause he's like the only person who know how to read that shit.
Yep. So we cut back to, Carol and Rick. she is now telling him how strong she's gotten since her abusive marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a survivor.
Yep. Playing that Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Destiny's Child.
You know, he's like, she's like, well, maybe we should get back. Carol says, matter of factly. Rick and Carol wait for Sam to join them back at the house. Mm-hmm. But he never shows up. Mm-hmm. Carol says, look, we need to just leave. Rick and Carol load up the car with supplies. Carol tries for the passenger door and finds it locked. Rick tells her she can't come.
Nope, that bitch was locked. She was like, wait a minute. He was like, you can't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in his mind, he was like, as furious as Tyrese is, I cannot, if I bring you back, he will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't approve of what you did, but at the same time, I do not want to sit and have him kill you either.
Yeah, I don't have, like, I at this point, and I can't trust you, more importantly.
Yeah, that's what he
I think Rick realized, like, I can't trust you. You didn't run this decision by anybody.
Nope, you didn't consult nobody.
You now see the world in such a level of black and white that I can't justify your reasoning. You're saying me killing Shane is the same as you killing two people who got sick.
Yeah, his mind is like, it's not the same.
Right. And if you're at that level, how can I ever trust you to do anything? You'll kill anybody.
With my infant. Like, and first time something you feel like it's threatening to you. And it's like, you're thinking of the group. But he was like, nah, you're really thinking about you. You're not really thinking of the bigger picture.
Right. If, like, in a way, she's now become the abuser.
Yes.
You know, that sees the world in this, the weakness or the strongness of people.
That's right.
At the vet school, Bob nearly loses his backpack to a group of walkers, refuses to let it go.
He fought hard for it, too.
They tell him let it go. He won't let it go. It yanks open. Liquor falls out.
Yes, sir.
Daryl, I think he even grabbed it. He still grabbed the liquor, I think.
Yeah, and Daryl was hot.
And then Daryl notices that that Bob didn't even bother to collect any medicine.
Oh, so the back was just full of alcohol.
Yep. He said, take one sip before those meds get in our people. I will beat your ass to the ground. Rick and Carol load up on the car with supplies. Carol tries for the passenger door, finds it locked. Rick tells her she can't return with him to prison. When Therese finds out, he'll kill you, Rick says, mm-hmm. insisting that murdering Karen and David wasn't her decision to make, mm-mm. and others won't want her to prison once they find out. She said,
true, because it would cause a panic.
She said, no one else has to know. She pleaded, and he goes, I won't have you there. And I said, now that's the Ricktatorship I'm talking about.
He was like, no, but I'm not going to have it there because some other shit pop off or somebody else finds out. I'm not going to have to go through this shit again. Nope, you got to go, bitch.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Rick helps Carol load up Sam and Anna's car with supplies. Carol gives Rick her watch, an old anniversary gift from Ed, and then drives off alone.
Yeah, and I think that we're watching The Talking Dead, and think somebody on there said that this basically was, hey, if I'm going to start anew, I'm going to start anew. Here's everything that I was holding on to because I got to move on and I got to let go of everything, including my abuse, including being with the group. Mm-hmm. I got to move on, and that was kind of her last thing that she was kind of holding on to from her past.
Yeah, and Anna, you know, she's dead. They saw her body. Mm-hmm. Sam's gone. There's no reason to wait around.
Mm-mm.
You know, that watch and Sam are somewhere pieced out, and Anna doesn't have a leg to stand on anymore.
Nope, she sure doesn't.
That was episode 4. Mm-hmm. Episode 5. Internment. Okay, guys, let's take a quick break here and play some more Walking Dead music so we can shake things up. Everybody's still awake. All right, here we go. Herschel, Glenn, and Sasha have now come up with a new way to save survivors a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. They intubate them where they put a tube into your lungs to help you breathe.
Yeah, because whatever it was closing up breathing.
And Glenn asked, how long can the breathing apparatus keep people alive? He says, as long as it has to. Herschel
says, as long as they pump, because what was happening, they was putting a tube down people's throat, and then they was using this pump, and they actually was squeezing, mm-hmm. which was allowing air to kind of go in and out.
Yep. Herschel and Glenn find Mr. Jones dead in the cell, load his body on a gurney, and They got to take it away. Yeah. So nobody else can see them kill dude.
Yeah,
in the
because
brain.
They were actually going to kill him right there. And Herschel made sense. He was like, we can't do this here and have all these people panic.
Yeah. Herschel is just nursing hope. That's what all he does at this point, where he's just like, nope, got to keep people hopeful, got to keep people positive. And seeing somebody get stabbed to the head after dying is not positive.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah.
And it took all Glenn's strength.
So Maggie goes to check on Glenn, and Herschel tells him, hey, Glenn's fine, he's just resting, and refuses her offer to assist in the sick ward, because Maggie's in love with Glenn. She wants to see if he's alive and if he's doing okay. And then also, her father's in there.
Yeah.
You know,
man.
And she's willing to risk getting sick. But, you know, Herschel and Glenn have a, you know, legit concern, like, hey, stay out of here.
Yeah. And then Sasha was trying to help out where she could, because I think she actually helped out a little bit too with the little bit of strength that she had. And, you know, he's looking at her like, don't come in here, basically.
Yeah. And Glenn wouldn't see her because he was so sick. He knew if she saw him, she'd come rushing in.
Yeah. And she would panic and shit.
Yeah. Maggie lets Rick through the perimeter gate. He tells her how he banished Carol for killing Karen and David.
Yes, he did.
But informs to only tell Herschel for now. And tells her he only plans to inform Herschel for now. And Maggie agrees it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And lets him know about the fence situation. Mm-hmm. A cluster of walkers becoming unmanageable, probably from the feeding. Right? She doesn't know about the feeding, but as an audience member, we're like, they're probably piling up right where they've been getting fed.
Of course, and probably pushing and shoving in that one hole over and over and clawing at it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's getting pretty intense with, you know, things are starting to pile up. You got sick people inside. You lost Carol. You got a group of, Daryl and three black people just hanging out.
I know, right?
Like, you got, you know, this will be the perfect time for someone to destroy everything at the prison anyway, right? Meanwhile, Herschel checks on Dr. S, who was nearest death. Dr. S tells Herschel that patients are reaching end stage from which there's no recovery. And if you're not ready to lose one, you're going to lose them all, he says.
Yeah.
And Herschel says, we're not that desperate. Dr. S opens up a crate under his cot filled with guns and ammunition and warns Herschel to prepare.
Yeah, and told him to lock them niggas. He was like, hey, lock them doors. Okay, I understand what you're saying, but if you lock the doors, they won't get out and start attacking people. Just lock people in their cells for your safety.
Yep. Herschel starts shutting the doors, and another patient dies. And Herschel urges her to... Sasha tries to go get the gurney. Herschel says, "Go, just rest. Don't worry about it." Mm-hmm. Wills the body outside, covering the face with the sheet, stabs the patient himself, which symbolizes a lot because I feel like Herschel's optimism was waning.
Yeah, it was getting to him.
Yeah, then they find Herschel finds Sasha collapsed in her cell and gives her an IV bag.
Yeah.
And a female patient dies in a nearby cell.
Yep, they started dropping like flies. Like he was saying, hey, if you're not willing to lose one, everybody's going to end up dying.
Yeah, and this is after Rick has told him, like, hey, after we survive this, shit ain't going to go back to how it was. Mm-hmm. You know, people now realize it's not all good up in here. And then he tells them about Carol, too.
Yeah. And the way Maggie responded was interesting. She looked at him straight face like, and I think her was like, I'm glad I didn't have to make that goddamn decision. I'm with you, Rick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So Maggie and Rick go work on the fence as the walkers push against it. Glenn is tending to Henry when he's seized by coughing fit. Glenn passes out, blood rushing out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Glenn might not make it.
Yeah, and Lizzie finds Glenn just as Henry reanimates on his cot. Lizzie, the little girl, the crazy one. So now she's luring Henry to walk away.
Yeah, because she was like, I can't have you attacking Glenn.
Yeah, she's going to kill him, you know, like Carol Totter, kind of.
But it didn't work too well.
Yeah. Herschel can't help because he's getting attacked by the female walker, and a man's about to shoot the female walker when another walker, that guy's son, bites him.
Yep.
And he accidentally shoots another patient instead. Like, shit is just getting crazy in there, you know? Meanwhile, Lizzie trips and falls, trying to lure the other walker away before the walker can bite her. Herschel manages to throw it onto some netting, between the second and first floor of the cell block.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's stuck in the middle of this netting. And Herschel then puts Lizzie and Luke in the cell and tells them to stay put. Checks on Glenn, who's now dying, choking on his own blood.
Oh, yeah, he was turning colors and shit. Oh.
Yeah. Dr. S's turn. So when Herschel goes to get the guns, like Dr. S told him to do already ahead of time.
Yep.
Dr. S tries to bite him, and Herschel has to stab him through the face.
Yeah, Herschel became a one-man wrecking crew.
Yep. Meanwhile, in a theme that has been going on the whole time during the prison season, as shit is going out of control on the inside, shit is out of control on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The fence collapses while Rick and Carl are working on it, and walkers overrun them.
Yep.
And so now the way that it was set up is that this fence is on the outside, like it's two levels of fences.
Yeah.
So they break this one fence, but there's still another fence
mm-hmm.
that they would have to go through anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick and Carl have one of the best father-son moments ever.
Man.
As they combine to get a kill streak that would make any Call of Duty player jealous.
Man, it was like the best buddy cop scene ever.
Mm-hmm.
They was like back to back, nigga, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready, daddy. Let's do this. And they took them down.
Maggie sees her father is struggling fighting these zombies. She breaks down the glass, busts in, through the observation window.
Yeah, she was trying hard to get through that glass too.
Yeah. Herschel finds Glenn choking, remembers that the intubators, attached to Henry. And
they Henry, on the net.
Henry is the zombie stuck on the net that's still alive. They need to get the intubator, but without getting bit. And they don't want to shoot at him because if you shoot through the intubator, then you're basically killing Glenn.
Yeah.
Because you're going to plan to use this in Glenn. So he, of course, old ass Glenn can't really get the shit. I mean, old ass Herschel can't really get the intubator. Mm-hmm. And Maggie has to make this killer shot.
Yeah, she was like, my baby's life on the line. Yes, I will do this.
Mm-hmm. And she able to shoot dude from like, I think below the floor.
Like a boss.
Like, yeah, just a perfect crack shot. Rick and Carl pick off the straggling walkers. That's when Daryl and the crew return. Tyrese runs inside, comforts Sasha in her cell. Maggie urges Herschel to rest while she and Bob tend to Glenn. And Herschel enters Dr. S's cell, closes Dr. S's remaining eye, opens his Bible, but can't read it. And Herschel starts crying.
Yeah, because he was stabbing, he was killing, he was breaking arms. This nigga had one leg.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Herschel really beasted for the first four episodes of this season.
Come on now.
And held that shit together. As an old ass one-legged man.
He was giving him the business.
He had every right to give up. This dude was used to treating horses.
Come on.
And he was like saving human beings' lives with just the strength of hope and elderberries.
Ain't that the truth? He was like, nope, ain't none of us gonna die. We all gonna get extra lives.
Yeah. So then that's when Tyrese and the guys show up. Herschel informs Tyrese that Glenn survived the night and is breathing on his own. When Daryl asks about Carol, Herschel says, hey, go talk to Rick.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not going to be the one to give you this information because if you flip, it won't be in front of me.
And Daryl and Carol had become extremely close. It was almost
real close.
Like it was like one of those relationships where people were wondering, were they having sex? Were they mother?
Because they were.
Was
real,
it a mother and son type relationship?
Because that relationship was really tight.
Right, it was. And we knew that when Daryl found out, he was gonna probably go crazy unless he was told exactly the right way.
Yeah, that's why Herschel was like, hey, you need to talk to Rick about that. All right, I got to go.
So now they've got the medicine. The people are gonna be healing.
Treat it. Mm-hmm.
Carol's gone, everybody's back. And they go to the garden, Rick and Carl out there, you know, eating beans.
Yeah.
The crops are ripening. Looks like, hey, we're going to survive.
Yep.
And we cut to the outside of, the fence. Prince. Herschel and Michonne are disposing of corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom out a little bit and you notice somebody's watching from the tree line. It's the governor.
And nigga, I cut a monkey. I was like, oh shit, my nigga is back. And to me, the way they ended was like one of the most epic ways of ending the episode. Like out of the whole scene, all the episodes, but this right here was one of the ones where you was like, oh, you got a yes! And like, we was live tweeting and like Twitter just lit up.
Yeah.
Was like, yes, yes. Oh, and you didn't tell how they ended up, luring, the zombies with throwing the pigs off the truck.
Oh, but wasn't that, okay. I thought that was earlier in the season when they killed those pigs. That was, oh, you're right. This episode did have a cool moment to lure the walkers away from the fence.
Yes.
So they wouldn't pile up. Rick, lured them away by killing the pigs and just giving them, the walkers, something to eat on the opposite side of the fence. And they ran away from the fence and then they were able to like get the fence to stand back up for a second
and repair it. But yeah, they had to get them away because, you know, they was like, hey, we can't have them constantly piling up here. We got to give them something to actually draw them away long enough for us to repair this fence. It kind of happened at the end of the episode. I think most of the pigs were dead, but they kind of just cut them open and like drew the blood out, which kind of drew them in the direction.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that was a different episode, but that was this one, huh?
If I'm not mistaken, it is.
Okay, you're probably right. I forgot.
Cause it kind of happened at the end.
I mean, Karen would remember. She's a fan of the bacon. she probably was not.
Let me know if I'm wrong, but I really do think that they end up doing this on this episode because it was kind of the wrap up episode, and then not too long after that, that's when they was out there, you know, eating edamame out there. I'm probably mispronouncing that for those who like
the. Well, they were two peas in a pod now, father and son getting along.
Yes, and like I said, one of the best endings ever.
Yeah. So the governor's back. The next episode to me was like the thing that separated this season from even the other season so far. Yes. And really put it over the edge hump. They do a flashback to the right after the governor's failed prison attack, after he slaughtered his own people on the road at the end of season 3, when he drives off with Martinez and Shumpert. They show him sitting like blanked out by a campfire, just looking off into the distance, not even paying attention as a walker approaches him, falls into the fire,
catches on fire,
still tries to crawl for him and bite him. He's not even paying attention. And Martinez shoots the walker and looks at the governor like, look at what happened to you, you know?
Yeah, like, what is wrong with you, man?
He wakes up the next morning, Martinez and Shumpert left him.
Yeah, they was like, oh, this nigga is crazy. We done seen him kill about 25 people, and now he's zoned out. We gotta survive, dog, and we can't survive with him because honestly he might kill us, nigga.
Yeah, he's a liability at this point. He can't even, like, he's lost his will to live, basically.
Yes, he did.
He breaks into Woodbury, burns the town down to the ground.
Oh, this was the best shit ever because he literally went in there and tore everything to fucking pieces, lit shit on fire. He turned shit over. Like, he was a one-man crew. He was like, bitch, if I can't live here, ain't nobody gonna inhabit this place.
He wanders the streets alone like the Bruce Banner from the old Incredible Hulk.
All you need to hear was that music, man. Zombies was walking at him. He was just letting them fall past him. It was very comical to kind of see him go to the bottom.
Yeah.
He got like a beard and shit.
Yeah, he was like, he looked just completely disheveled.
Yes.
And he's telling a woman in a voiceover like, hey, what happened? Like, I used to live in a town full of good people. It was safe. She said, what happened? And he just said, the man in charge lost it.
You're skipping a part. Remember, he was walking and he looked up and he seen a little girl like his daughter, which actually drew him into the building.
Yeah, I haven't got to that part yet.
Oh, okay, my bad.
This is a voiceover. This is before they show you what happened.
Oh, okay.
So, he's walking through a town. He sees a young girl staring at him from an apartment window that looks like Penny.
Yeah.
Penny is his zombie daughter from last season. He stumbles into the building, is confronted by two women wielding a bat and a gun. He gives them his gun and a bag. One of the women interrogates him in their apartment. She threatens to kill him and all this shit. He tells her his name is Brian Harriet, which is the name he saw spray painted on the building during his travels. So we still don't know the governor's real name. And he said he only plans to stay one night. Later, the governor opens a can of tuna in his apartment. Lily, Tara's sister, brings him a plate of canned pasta. He thanks her, but later dumps the meal out the window and continues eating his tuna. Meanwhile, Lily's daughter, Megan, plays backgammon with the grandfather. You know, the grandfather has an oxygen tank.
Mm-hmm.
He's sick. And he kind of, like, he didn't seem so suspicious of the governor as much as he felt like, cool, someone can help us get shit done.
Yeah.
You know, it's just my daughters, the women I care about, fending for themselves. I'm a sickly old dying man. This is no condition for anyone to protect them.
True.
Terrence finds the governor leaving his plate outside her door and orders him to wash it. Afterward, the governor helps Lily and Tara carry David to his bedroom. David reflects to the governor the importance of family, asks him to get his backgammon board from a neighbor's apartment, and it'll cheer up the little girl. So the governor goes and gets the board, finds the occupant is now walking the bathtub with a revolver.
Killed himself.
Looks like he tried to kill himself.
But came back.
But somehow shot himself in the face, but didn't kill his brain.
Yep.
So he's a walker stuck in the bathtub. Just bleed, that bled, dirty, nasty bathtub. And so the governor stabs him in the head, which is kind of epic because the governor has kind of not been stabbing zombies all this time.
Yeah.
He's just been walking around him and shit.
Yeah, he was like, you're not that important. Because he just like so out of it that, like you say, he had been out of that mode.
Right. He gives the backgammon set to the old man. And now the governor looks at an old photo of himself, his wife, and his daughter. He just, you know how people do it in every... You know, they do an all dramatic tropes.
Movies. And you know what, the daughter, at first, when she was acting all big and bad, I was thinking, I don't really think she's telling the truth. I was like, she might be saying that shit trying to scare him. I was like, bitch, do you really know who you talking to? Like,
right. Everybody was thinking that. This is one of the most dangerous men, but he's giving up his will to live, basically.
Okay.
Like, he ain't gonna do shit, you know, like, he was that broken at that point. He just didn't see the point.
Yeah.
Lily actually offered him his gun back the next day, and he told her, no, keep the gun.
Yeah.
He said he found the other one in the neighbor's apartment. And he also told her to kill walkers by aiming for the brain. And we find out, basically, these bitches don't know shit. They've been sitting up in this apartment since the zombie apocalypse broke out. A food truck or something broke next to the apartment. So they've been eating off of that. They just don't know what's going on outside that little world.
No, they don't. And what was happening is that they was saying how she would go up there and kill them, but they kept coming back. And he was like, bitch, aim for their head. That's why they won't drop dead. Cause I think they was like walking above them on the ceiling, and they could hear him all day, all night, just groaning, just walking above them. Mm-hmm. And he was like, aim for their heads. That's why they keep coming back.
Yep. The governor goes on a run to get two oxygen tanks because, David is dying.
Yeah.
Stage 4 lung cancer. You know, they just want to keep him alive a little bit longer. At the apartment building, he gives the tanks to Lily and Tara. Lily, a former nurse, dresses a cut on his forehead. While she goes to get ointment, Megan chats to the governor about his eye patch. And he explains he got hurt trying to protect somebody he loved,
mm-hmm.
which is Penny. And Michonne is the one who hurt him. Days later, he's clean shaven, getting his life back together. And David.
He's about to leave too, ain't he?
Yeah, I think he's about to leave. And mm-hmm. then we find out David's dead.
Yep.
So.
And Dave was literally oblivious about like anything that was happening.
Yeah, outside. They didn't know he was going to turn.
Nope. He did though.
Right. And they start, and you know, he's been bonding. He's teaching Megan how to play chess, the little girl, and all this stuff. So yeah. The governor tells him, look, get out of the bedroom.
Yeah, because I think he asked him, like, how long had he died or something like that. They was like, he's been dead. They was like, he was like, oh, shit, this is not going well.
Yeah, he tells him to get out. Lily asks for a minute. As they mourn, David reanimates and grabs at Tara's head. To Megan's horror, the governor brutally bashes David's head with an oxygen tank.
He was like, I'm not telling you to move for no reason. Like, he's going to come back. He's going to try to kill you, but they're still thinking people die a normal death.
Yeah. Now, the adults realize what's happening, and it's okay, but Megan, the little girl, just thinks he's bashed her grandfather's head in.
Yes.
As her grandfather miraculously came to life. So she's now scared of the governor.
And that would make sense.
Yeah. The governor now burns his old family photo. tells Lily he's leaving, and she says, you got to take us along. And he's like, fine, I don't want to, but y'all can come with me.
True.
They hit the road in the food truck. That night, four of them sleep side by side. Lily and the governor lock eyes and kiss. I'm assuming they fucked in that food truck next to the little kids.
I thought they did too.
And the one sister turns out to be gay anyway, so I guess that's why there's never a love interest type thing there. Mm-hmm. Although she did have some Tigo bites.
Yes, she did.
The next morning, Tara tries to start the truck. It won't start. They have to leave it behind, making their way on foot. Tara sprains her ankle moments before the group encounters a herd of walkers. Typical. Scary movie moment. Megan jumps into the governor's arms. Because she hadn't been talking. She's been scared of him this whole time.
Because they had to get her to move because the zombies were coming and she stood there staring. I was looking like, bitch, move. Why is she just staring?
Right. I was like, this is why I hate kids. But she finally said, all right, I like the governor more than zombie death.
Yes.
Runs into his arms. They all get separated. Lily and Tara fall into a man-made walker pick. The governor jumps down, kills the walkers inside, embraces Megan, says, I'm never going to let anything happen to you. And that's when you look up and Martinez is the one who found the governor. He's the one who obviously built the walker pit, the same kind of walker pit they used to have back in Woodbury.
Yes. And it was one of those things where I think he was running with her and they just fell into the pit. Like you didn't see it. Like they were just running and all of a sudden they went down. And I forgot, it was like two or three of them in there. And when I tell you with this nigga's bare hands, I think one of them, he like broke his, pulled his face apart. And I mean, he gave them zombies the business. And I think that
with no weapon,
And I think for the first time, she gave him something to live for. Cause I think he didn't have anything to live for, but he was like, oh, I got something to live for now. And you could kind of see, the life coming back in him at that period of time.
Martinez, they start the next episode. Now, I always had this, and I had this thought at the end of this episode where I was like, is Martinez even gonna help this nigga out of the pit?
Yeah, because that's the way he looked down, like, should I help you?
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was thinking, like, I wonder if that's even gonna be a thing, because he's not really all the way back to full governor mode.
No.
But at the same time, Martinez has only seen this dude in the governor mode and in this broken state. And I was thinking he might just be like, fuck it. No way. You know, yeah. I know this guy. And, you know, it's kind of like a secret that he's keeping from the women.
Yeah, because Martinez act like this was the first time they ever met.
Yeah.
He literally was acted like asking his, I think he asked him his name and everything.
Yeah, I don't remember if that was part of, but I just do remember that there was this idea of like, obviously I'm not going to tell him that you went fucking crazy and killed all those people.
Yes, because obviously you're protecting them, so you got a bond with these people.
Yeah, maybe he was thinking things could be fixed or
he may have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had at that period of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the next episode, Martinez basically tells him, hey, I'm the man in charge. I got a new camp. We only have one rule. No dead weight. Everybody around here pulls their part. They got to do something. They have a trailer. They don't have a town. You know, it's like a bunch of, it's like a mobile home
unit
park or something.
Mm-hmm.
The governor washes clothes with Megan, while she studies the chessboard and says, you can't think forever. Sooner or later, you got to make your move. And he's basically living with the ladies. Mm-hmm. And he's doing, you know, a bunch of chores type work. You know, he doesn't seem like he's interested in leadership at all.
Nope. He's just going along to get along.
The governor tells Lily that he's going on a supply run. He apologizes for the state of Martinez's camp. He said, this camp is good. We'll make it better. She reassures him. The governor hikes through the forest with Martinez and two brothers, Pete and Mitch. We find out these motherfuckers are, one of them's kind of cool. One of them's a psycho.
Yes.
They go looking for a camp for supplies. They go look into a cabin and there's a bunch of signs on corpses, liar, murderer, you know, different stuff. So someone's been killing these people and then like
leaving them out there put, as an example.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so yeah, there was a liar one. There was a murder. I was trying to think if there was anything else, but, that night they, after they cleaned out that, that cabin, I think they, there was a couple of walkers. They kill them. Governor kills one with a flashlight and shit. They hang out drinking beer. They find some beer. They're drinking beers, hanging out. The governor says he's a changed man and all this shit. After Martinez asks him about, you know, Megan and that family and stuff. Mitch explains that him and Pete were in the army before the apocalypse. And when asked what he did after the fall, the governor simply says, "I survived." Now, Martinez obviously knows more.
Yeah, this motherfucker went crazy, y'all.
Yeah. So they go back to the camp.
And I think at that period of time, I think for Martinez, he didn't really think at that time that the government's going to be threatening.
Yeah, I mean, he really had no reason to. So I, you know, I think everybody felt like, okay, it's cool. You know, we're fine. So I thought, you know, things are going to be fine. So Martinez and the governor go back to the camp. With the beer they got from the supply run, they reminisce about Woodbury. Lily remarks that the governor never talks about his time there. At, and I think at that moment, that's when the governor realized, like, I can't allow this dude to ever tell people what happened.
Yeah, because if he does, it would change their perspective of me.
So after the dinner, governor is trying to fix a leaky roof in his trailer. I had a slightly tipsy, Martinez knock on the door, says, "I got a surprise for you." Martinez, hits golf balls from the roof of his trailer, which I guess is the surprise. And, Martinez comments, "There are some things you can't come back from," an allusion to the Woodbury massacre. So now he's brought it up twice.
Yeah. And I think he got tired of him bringing it up.
And the governor asked Martinez if he'll be able to keep the camp safe. Martinez says he's trying and expresses hope that he can, that he can share the crown. Like, you know, governor, you, we'll both be in charge. And the governor suddenly slams Martinez's head with a golf club, drags him into the, in the walker pit, holds him down, lets the walkers devour him.
Yes, but if I'm not mistaken, prior to that, didn't he run into a zombie, kill it, strap a thing to his leg and make it, made it sink? And then we realized they could swim?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know if he did it before or after, honestly. There's still more to go in this episode.
Okay.
But he says, yeah, I think he did it after now. I'm almost sure of it.
Okay.
But he said, yeah, there's some things you can't come back from. The governor asked him, you know, can, yeah, he tells the governor we can share the crown and the governor kills his ass.
He was like, we ain't sharing shit.
And it was crazy. He held him down almost like he was drowning him. Just let the zombies
eat
him.
He did. And they pulled him down and pulled him down and tore him to pieces.
Lily and Megan find the governor crying in their trailer. He says he had a bad dream the next morning. Mitch tells the camp that Martinez got drunk and fell into the walker pit. Pete announces that he will take over. Now, everybody knows Pete's too nice.
Oh, he was sweet.
While hunting in the forest, Pete, Mitch, and the governor spot a small camp. Mitch suggested they raid the camp, but Pete says nope. The governor says nothing. Later, the governor discovers that the camp has been raided and everybody in it was murdered. And Mitch angrily points out that they could have got the supplies first if Pete hadn't been a bitch.
Yeah, he did.
And the governor goes to his trailer, orders Lily and Megan to pack, saying, like, let's get the fuck out of here. These dudes ain't ready. They ain't about that life.
And then they're organized, and this shit is going to go down.
And that night, they try to flee the camp, but they had to stop because they reach a mud pit filled with walkers. And
yeah, that was crazy. They was, like, literally a hole in the middle of the road that had walkers in it, and it was, like, no way to cross it either.
The next day, the governor wakes up. They see him adjusting his holster with his gun. Lily said, what are you doing? He says, surviving, which is what he said he did after the zombie apocalypse started, which if you know how he got down at Woodbury, it's like,
he back.
So the governor enters the Pete's trailer, stabs Pete to death. He then goes to Mitch's trailer, tells him Pete is dead. He's taking leadership over the camp. He invites Mitch to join him, saying, men like your brother, always doing the right thing, even at the cost of their own people. Mitch, the fucking psycho, says, okay, my brother's dead. I'm going to be your right-hand man. He killed your brother.
He didn't care. He probably would have killed him if he'd had nerve.
But they're brothers.
He didn't care. He was like,
"Well, Karen, you don't have a brother. You don't understand. You can't do this." No,
I mean, I do.
Like that. Like to me, honestly, because you know, there's a couple of negative things I do have to say about the season of the show. One of them is the forced music. Like I didn't like that they started adding soundtrack music with words to it. But more importantly, this moment right here was to me like unimaginable. Somebody killed your brother, you're just like, well, I guess so.
But, and I guess I didn't go into the backstory, but this is one of those things where the world has changed so much, and he was looking at his brother like, we mess around and gonna die because you're being soft. And I guess in his mind, he was like, you're not a good leader. You killed him. You know, I don't even know. And it didn't look like he showed any remorse, but you gotta remember, you even said he's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, I just don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like this twist. I just thought it was weird. Like if he would have been something else, his cousin, a football teammate.
The relationship would have been a different relationship.
Yeah, your brother. The reason you didn't kill him is because he's your brother. Now you're gonna let this other motherfucker you just met 5 days ago kill your brother? I didn't buy it.
Yeah, because he was like, if I go against you, you're gonna kill me too.
Even then, I would have thought at some point he'd just flip on the governor then.
True, and that's true too.
But Mitch, you know, and then it just tells you how psycho the governor is because he goes, men like your brother are always doing the right thing, even to cost their own people. Like, right, the my brother part is really important. The governor.
That's true.
The governor then goes and chains Pete's leg to an anchor and throws his body in a nearby pond.
Okay.
Which is now like his new floating, like his new head room full of heads, in my opinion, is he's gonna go out there, look into the lake at this dead zombie at the end of this pier and feel, you know, something, you know, like I don't know why he looked at him, but he's gonna be looking at him.
And that's when I realized that they could swim.
The governor later presides over the camp as a survivor. Now I don't know if swim is the right term, but close enough. But they
don't die in the water.
They float somehow. Yes. The governor later presides over the camp as survivors begin fortifying the grounds. So he's now making the camp stronger. That night, he looks over a map. He suggests to Lily they could have a better camp if they're willing to fight for it. But Lily insists they're fine where they are. The next day, Megan and Tara play outside. Megan almost gets bit by a walker, and the governor goes, fuck that.
Yeah, he was like, we don't have no walls. We don't have anything to protect us. And because the governor's been out there, so he was like, they come out of nowhere, you know, and if we run against a herd of them, there's no way we're going to survive.
Yeah. So, the next day, Governor Stairs looks at Pete some more and he drives into the forest, pulls over, stares through the tree line at Rick and Carl.
Yeah.
Then he watches Herschel and Michonne chatting nearby and he cocks his gun and aims it at them. The end of episode 6, also one of the best endings in the series history.
Yes, because it was because
it brought you full circle.
Yes,
and like once it brings you full circle, you realize how brilliant the
writing was.
The detour they took you on to get you back to that moment.
Yep, and it made sense.
Right, and how many shows had the courage to deviate from the first 5 episodes that you set this you know the prison and all the main characters and just go, okay, let's make a smaller story about the characters from season 3 that were the bad guys and not even talk about the prison at all. Not a cutaway.
They didn't talk about anybody. And it was like this series, there was no Rick. There was no Carl. Like there was like nobody from the camp. And like those main characters have literally been in every episode up to that point.
This is almost like a prequel.
Yes.
So now, episode 8, the last episode of the season, first half of the season. The governor ambushes Michonne Herschel, takes him prisoner, goes to the camp, tells the people that the people who destroyed Woodbury are living nearby. The governor proposes a plan to take the prison for themselves without firing a shot, but we need to be prepared to. And you know that he's, you know, we know the governor is full of subterfuge at this point. He's probably lying to these people.
And my thing is this. These motherfuckers aren't built to fight. And he was talking to him. I was like, now if this was Rick talking to his crew, okay. But you're talking to people who don't carry weapons, aren't military, the bulk of them. you know, just regular, normal ass people and encouraging them to risk their lives when I'm thinking y'all motherfuckers getting ready to die because you're not prepared for whatever it is you think that he's taking you into.
Yeah. And I think he feels like they have the element of surprise and that tank.
True.
So we just gonna show up and take shit over.
True.
So after,
and maybe they wouldn't even have to fight. Like he was like, I'm just gonna get him riled up, but we get there and maybe we won't have to fight. But I think in his mind, he was like, yeah, it's gonna be a battle.
Afterwards, Lily confronts the governor saying, hey, dog, you about to kill people? He said, not people, we're killing killers. Tells her that he loves her, but she looks kind of sad and claiming that she doesn't even know who he is anymore. But
that's who he probably,
who he was before you met him.
But she didn't know that, so
you didn't meet the governor, you met the governor's representative.
Yes, you did. You met the broken governor.
Right. You didn't meet the real governor.
Mm-hmm. Ask Andrea.
The governor tries to assure Michonne and Herschel that no one's gonna get hurt, as long as he gets to the prison. And Michonne says, I'm gonna kill you. Herschel.
Yes, she did, and she meant that.
Herschel, who's all about that peaceful life, says, we can all live together at the prison, and the governor says he'll never actually be able to live peacefully with Rick. The governor moves his, and Herschel's still like, you never understand with the power of peace. And the governor's like, fuck that shit.
Hey, Herschel was trying.
The governor moves the camp to a river and tells Lily they'll be safer there. Hugs Megan goodbye. And, at the prison, Maggie and Glenn joke about taking vacation when he recovers from his cell. And, so, you know, people are still sick because when you take the flashback, you're still coming off of people who most of the people in the prison have been sick.
Still trying to recover, not fully recovered.
Right. They just got back. Mm-hmm. Carol's gone. Like they've been through a lot, you know,
so it was like they give you a flashback to pull you back to real time.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Rick tells Daryl and Carol about Carol's banishment. Daryl insists that they inform Tyrese to gauge his reaction.
And that's exactly what they was going to do, but all hell breaks loose.
Sasha finds Bob sitting alone. She thanks him for saving her life. He said, Herschel, not me. But, Sasha insists she wouldn't be alive not for Bob and tells him, you're going to let me thank you. You know, Bob's still down on himself.
Yeah, cause Daryl was like, nigga, you fucking around drinking these drinks? No, mm-hmm. I ain't trying to hear that.
Rick and Daryl find Tyrese, who leads them to a vivisected rabbit nailed to a board in the prison tomb.
That's right, because they was going to tell him. He was like, well, whatever the fuck y'all going to tell me, can't wait. Let's go see this.
Now, he thinks it's the same person that killed Karen.
I don't think it is.
They go to tell him the truth, and they realize that a blast shakes the prison is from a tank shot.
Yep.
So they don't even get to tell him that, oh, no. The person that killed Karen is gone.
Yep.
So the governor and his crew all line up at the fence. They have a big standoff, which is another one of my favorite scenes. Mm-hmm. Rick stared down there like, is that the governor? The governor's sitting there with, you know, Herschel and Michonne as hostages.
Yeah.
And like, you come down here. Yeah, and no, and you come up here. Yeah, was great.
And Rick was like, hey, we got a council now. I don't run nothing. He was like, I don't give a fuck about y'all rules and regulations. You make a decision today, nigga.
Right. He tried to tell him, like, we don't do shit. And Rick even pleased at one point, maybe we can work together.
Yes,
he did.
Like,
we don't have to do this.
And that was a touching speech. Like, I really think that he bought into a lot of what Herschel was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was a great moment coming from Rick Tatership.
Yes.
To this moment of, look, the zombies are the enemies. We can't beat each other's enemies.
Yes, because this is not helping nobody.
The governor tells Rick they have until sundown to peacefully evacuate the prison. Rick says they have sick children, but the governor is unmoved. Daryl starts giving out guns to the survivors.
Oh, Daryl was on. He was like, you get a gun. Everybody spread out because I know they're down there talking, but this is not going to end well.
Megan gets bit by a walker playing in the mud. Mm-hmm. Because her fucking mom, Lily, isn't paying attention.
Come on now.
And meanwhile, the governor shoots several walkers as they approach the prison. He warns that the noise only attract more walkers. The longer you wait, the harder it'll be for you to get out of here, he tells Rick. Carl insists he can shoot the governor on the spot. Daryl urges him to let Rick talk it out.
Yeah, Carl was like,
Carl was ready for some action.
Yes. He's about that life.
Micah and Luke carry Judah to the bus. Lizzie stops them and tells them to join the fight. Rick tells the governor they could all live together, but the governor refuses. Is this what any of you want? Rick asked the governor's crew, promising they could all live in peace.
Yeah, and that's when
and those people weren't soldiers, so they were like, yeah, why can't we?
And they literally started looking at each other. And, you know, for a split second, I think the governor was like, you might be telling the truth, but fuck you.
Yep. The governor grabs a sword, swings at Herschel's neck. Rick screams. And I think the governor did this because Rick's argument was so moving, he was starting to lose his own army.
Yes, he was.
And he was like, okay, I have to make this pop off now.
Because if I don't, they're going to turn on me.
So, yeah. The governor hacks at Herschel's neck until it's decapitated. Everybody's shooting at each other. Lily walks up carrying Megan. Megan is dead. Yep. The governor takes Megan in his arms, shoots her in the head. Lily cries.
Yep, because he was like, she's going to turn into a zombie.
Mm-hmm. This isn't right, Tara tells Alicia amid the fight. He chopped the guy's head off with a sword. Alicia instructs Tara to go somewhere safe if they get separated. So basically, this, and Tara and Alicia are dating, they're lovers at this point. And I think Alicia was actually in the army. So she let Tara, we found out that Tara lied. She said she was a police officer, mm-hmm. former military, and she was just faking it, trying to be a tough girl.
Yes.
The governor returns to the fight, orders his army to drive through the fence, kill them all in the courtyard. Maggie orders Beth to board everyone on the bus while she gets Glenn. Glenn does make it to the bus. They get separated. Bullets get shot into the bus. So we don't know what happened.
Yeah, and the bus rolls off.
Yeah. Last time we checked, Judith was about to be on the bus. Glenn was on the bus. Someone driving the bus drives off. Bullet is getting riddled with bullets. So we don't know if anyone got shot or anything.
Nope.
In the courtyard, Maggie orders Beth to board everyone on the bus. So she gets Glenn. Elsewhere, Rick and the governor start fighting.
Yeah, they do.
And it was a pretty brutal fight.
Yeah, it was brutal, and Herschel ended up surviving that neck chop, and I think the governor found him and finished him off too.
No, we already talked about it. Chopped him one time, and then he finished chopping him until he decapitated him. That happened away as well.
Okay.
So yeah, he didn't survive it. He got wounded, and then the governor chopped him some more after the shootout started, but he killed him.
Okay.
And decapitated him.
Yeah, because I was like, this nigga's a fine, because he was still moving. Then he just was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and finish you off. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
So walkers now are coming out of the forest. They're jumping into the prison. They're running into the prison.
Because all the gunfight.
Yeah, meanwhile, there's, Rick and the governor are still fighting.
Yes, they are. They're going at each other hard, too.
Maggie finds Glenn as the tanks knock out a chunk of the wall in the cell block. She drops Glenn off at the bus, then runs to find Beth, because Glenn is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't fight, and Beth has went to go look for Judith. Walkers stream out of the forest, descend upon the prison. Maggie asks Bob and Sasha if they've seen Beth. Bob gets shot in the shoulder and they take him to cover. You see the bus depart without them. So now Bob and Sasha are together, but he's shot.
Yeah.
Alicia and another of the governor's soldiers close in on Tyrese. Lizzie, armed with a handgun, shoots them dead point blank.
And you know what?
Lizzie's the little psycho girl. And that's the first time that I'm like, go psycho.
You know what? Yeah. And that was because Tyree, I was like, oh shit, he about to die. Next thing I know, both of them get shot in the head and go down. I was like, who the fuck shot them? And they pan over and it's these two little girls holding these guns, shooting like pros. I was like, God damn it, Carol. You taught them well, bitch. You taught them well.
Yes, she did, man. Tyrese and Mika and Lizzie all kind of run off together.
Yes, they do.
In the prison yard, the governor is now beating the shit out of Rick and about to choke him to death when a sword busts through the back of him, through his chest.
I didn't see that coming.
And it's Michonne.
Yes.
She told him she was going to kill him.
And she meant that.
And she watches the governor writhing on the ground, but walks away without killing him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dale throws a grenade down a tank barrel, which was so dope. He did a crossover, flipped it up, rolled it right into the tank, blew it up. That dude Mitch pops out of the tank. And throws his weapon down, puts both hands up, and Daryl does the same thing that Carl would have done and shoots that motherfucker through the chest. And I loved it.
Yes, he did.
Cause fuck him. That's why. He runs into Beth and he goes, let's get out of here. Bruised and badly beaten, Rick finds Carl, asks where Judith is. They break in. to sobs when they see that her blood-soaked baby carrier is laying on the ground, so they think she's dead. Now, we don't know that she's dead. We didn't see a body, but, you know, kind of the same thing with Lori. I don't think we really got to see her body, but, you know, when that walker ate, that walker had that gut full of human, like, yeah, he probably ate Lori.
Because she was the only person in the room.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that, you know, and then people that read the comic books, you know, the baby dies in the comics. Now,
yeah,
the TV show has separated the realities. It has done a good job of, you know, changing things a lot, and some stuff is held back on. There's no rape of Michonne in this.
No, it's not
there, you know, so there's a chance that they're going, okay, this is a little too hardcore, killing a baby, let's not do it. But I think they're gonna kill that baby.
I do too.
Even if it's not graphic or whatever, like, I think, yeah,
even
that was,
if they come and say, well, she died, like, yeah, like, she's just not going to be around anymore.
Unless they pull this move, Rick and Carl are stuck by themselves and Rick is giving up hope. And then we just know as an audience, like, your baby's still alive. You can't give up hope.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, you need to be reunited with that child. Like, that would be kind of cool.
Yes.
Bruised and badly beaten, he finds Carl. Yeah. In the prison yard, the governor continues to bleed out. That's when Lily approaches him with a gun, aims at his head and fires.
Yeah, cause she was like, motherfucker, you killed my child.
Yeah, you didn't have to do all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't know what my other fucking daughter is.
Not her daughter, her sister.
I mean, huh?
Her
daughter.
Megan has a daughter. No. Lily has one daughter, Megan.
Oh, okay, well, her sister
her is. Her sister is the one that was faking the funk, yeah, like she was police.
She was like, I don't know what my sister is.
Yeah, Tara.
You killed my daddy. You know, my other child died. I told you we didn't have to come here in the first place. She was like, you got to die.
And Rick and Carl walk off. He says, don't look back. Behind them, you can see the walkers are just like descending on the prison.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's, and that's where it ends. Like I said, I thought this is one of the best pieces of fiction written in a while.
Yes, sir.
For a TV show. It's just amazing. So glad that, they really went this route. I think what's coming up in the future, I think we're going to see Rick get sick or be injured and Carl have to take care of him.
True.
Cause now everybody's separated. So we'll probably get to skip around and see like what everybody's experience is like.
Yeah. And it's going to be completely different. It is going to be interesting. They may even cover some of the people from the governor's camp. Cause you know, them people scattered too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sister.
Tara and Lily. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think her girlfriend died.
No. Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Her girlfriend was Alicia. She's dead.
Okay.
Tara and Lily are sisters.
Yeah, Tara and Lily. The one that was faking the funk as the officer, because yeah, I don't think she died.
That's Tara.
That's Tara. Okay.
Yeah, Tara is, Lily shot the governor. Tara is the one who faked the funk.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm with you now. I'm with you. And they might get back together. They might be separated because as of right now, they look like they're separated.
Yeah. Michonne's by herself, it appears.
Yeah. And Rick and Carl are together.
Daryl and Maggie are together. Rick and Carl are together.
And then you got the bus.
Yeah, you got the bus with Glenn on it. Beth and Daryl. And then there's
Tyrese
with the two little girls, which is gonna be interesting because I think those little girls remind me of the boy in the comic book where Carl killed the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the boy was like a serial killer, fucked up psycho.
He was killing everybody.
And you know, when you have, I think you're gonna find out that vivisected rabbit is actually one of the girls doing, and so was feeding the zombies.
I think so too.
So I think we're gonna see something happen with that, which will be interesting. Yeah, how that plays out.
And it's gonna be interesting to find Carol and see
Carol,
where her group is.
If we'll see her,
I don't think we're gonna see her the rest of this. I think we'll see her next season. I don't know why. I got a feeling that it's so much going on right now. She'll be next season, and it wouldn't surprise me if she's like the middle or the end of next season. You know, it's something like that because there's so many different storylines going on right now. And it's gonna be interesting if she gets up with Tyrese and them, and Tyrese and them don't know. Does she tell them? Does she not tell them? Like, you know, look, just little stuff like that. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Yeah. So we're interested. I hope you guys remain interested for this epic, almost 2-hour podcast. Recap, you know, hopefully you enjoy these, man. Let us know on Twitter, Facebook, email us, whatever. But all season reviews, episode 2, The Walking Dead season 4, part 1, in the books. So thank you guys for coming out. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed it. See you next time.